This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. We're continuing to broadcast this week live from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio, where tonight the 2,472 registered delegates will formally nominate Donald Trump as the Republican candidate for president. Now, the media is focused on the members of Congress who are not here, as well as some of the other presidential contenders in the primary, suggesting that points to division within the Republican Party. But is that the case? We'll talk with one of the many members of Congress who are here. One of the founding members of the Freedom Caucus, North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows, will join me here in the booth in just a moment. Also, we talked about the GOP platform adopted yesterday. Today, we're going to compare the GOP platform with the platform of the Democratic Party, which they have proposed. Associate editor of the Daily Caller, Peter Hassan, joins us with a comparison. And yesterday at a press conference in Baton Rouge, where officials were giving an update on the shooting of law enforcement officials, officers on Sunday, an official with the FBI said he wanted to unify the community by reciting the words of the Pledge of Allegiance. But he left something out. We'll talk about what that something was a little later here on Washington Watch, again, as we broadcast this week from the RNC convention in Cleveland, Ohio. The website to find out more about today's guest and our topics. And by the way, we have a link to the platform up there now on the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, you can keep up with us this week as we run into different individuals and engage in various conversations and activities. In fact, just talk to the Benham brothers. You can keep up with us on Twitter at T Perkins. All right, the Republican National Convention is in full swing, and we're here live to report what is taking place and give you the the non-spin version of what you're getting from the media. Now, several members of Congress are here to show their support for the platform and the process. Now, the platform, as we've talked about, supports life, marriage, and religious freedom, a platform that true conservatives can really get behind without hesitation. Now, by the way, I want to address this. Some have been very dismissive of the platform, saying, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, some have said it's the most conservative platform and kind of made fun of the Republicans. Others say, well, it doesn't matter. The Congress doesn't pay any attention to it anyway. Well, my team ran across a study. Lee Payne, associate professor at the Stephen F. Austin State University. A few years ago, Payne went through all of the platforms by both Republican and Democratic parties from 1980 to 2004. He identified every direct promise in those platforms, pledges he thought amounted to concrete policy positions, and then he compared those promises with all of the votes taken on either the House or Senate floor. Now, the number has increased for both parties over the years, but especially for the GOP. Overall, this is the number. Overall, Democrats in Congress voted for positions that matched their party platform 74% of the time in the past 30 years. While Republicans did so, listen, you're listening? 89% of the time. Bottom line, the platforms do matter. And one of the conservative leaders that will help drive the conservative principles found in the 2016 platform is my next guest, one of the founders of the House Freedom Caucus, North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows. Mark, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, great to be back with you. And I want to just say thank you for working on the platform. I know that you are here in the trenches fighting the fight. And I would say it's the most conservative platform that I've ever read, and I've been around a long time.
It's actually kind of heartening to think that this is coming out of the Republican Party. Give our listeners some idea of how the platform might find its way into Congress.
Well, I can tell you, when we start talking about policy and we're debating back and forth whether we should support something legislatively or not, constantly we come back to the platform. And when some of our members want to get a little weak-kneed, they say, well, we don't really stand for that, or we don't need to be standing that. We can hold up this platform and say, well, this is what the Republican platform is all about. It gives them a backstop. It gives them some of them a backbone.
Right.
And as we look at that, it is critically, critically important. And so I can't underscore it enough, the work and the effort that was put into it. And it's making a difference. I heard that just as recent as yesterday with some of my pro-Israel guys that were here from Israel. talking to me about what was in the party platform and what was fought to be taken out. And so I just want to say kudos to all of you that worked on it.
Thank you. In fact, even as we were shaping the platform, discussing it, there were votes in Congress like the Conscience Protection Amendment, which is called for in this platform.
Right.
So it is, we have conservative members of Congress. I mean, you're evidence of that. We've got the Freedom Caucus that has been founded in the last few years that is growing in number and influence, I might add. And this is part of the process. This is the ammunition that I think you guys need to drive this conservative agenda forward.
Well, it is, and I can tell you a number of times when you have a weapon, you actually have to have the ammunition to go in it. And what you've given us is a great plethora of ammunition that we're going to be able to use not only in the coming months, but in the coming years. As the next 4 years, this foundational document will be something that not only we refer to, but I believe will get cited over and over and over again.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. We're broadcasting live from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. My guest, North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows. Congressman, let's talk about that next 4 years, because we're hoping to see a change in Washington after
a welcome change.
Yeah, a necessary change, I would say, when we look at the policies that have been pushed from the White House in the last 7.5 years. Do you foresee? Let me stop for a minute. I'm going to go back because I want to go back to my opening comment, because we've heard the media repeatedly say, well, there's so many members of Congress that aren't here. They're staying away because there's this fissure, there's this divide in the Republican Party because of the nominee. Is that the case?
It's really not the case, Tony. As you know, I endorse someone other than our presumptive nominee, the gentleman that'll be nominated today. I endorse someone else, and yet it would have been very easy for me to have taken my ball and run home. But there's really not a groundswell of people doing that. I think what we're seeing is it's more imperative now than ever before for those people of faith, those conservatives, those who believe in a constitutional form of government or pro-family form of government, that we actually work harder than ever to help shape the future agenda, not only for the executive branch, but for the legislative branch that has to work hand in glove.
You know, this is my analysis, and I supported someone else in the primary. Ted Cruz was a candidate that I personally, not the organization or any of the organizations I lead, but I personally supported. But when I look at what's going to happen here tonight, Donald Trump's going to get the nomination formally. And as his support built across the country, I actually see it as the same thing that caused the creation of the Freedom Caucus in many ways, because people are tired of politics as usual.
Right.
And he is, I don't agree with him on everything by far, but he is, he has the courage to stand up for his convictions and shake things up. That's what the Freedom Caucus is doing.
Well, that's what we've done, and hopefully that's what we'll continue to do as we grow in strength and numbers. But I think the other portion of that is that the American people are tired of politics as usual. They would rather take someone who says something that may offend them than to listen to someone who agrees with them all the time
right.
and then disappoints them in Washington, D.C.
Right.
And I think that's what we're seeing.
So, Congressman Meadows, I'm going to put you on the spot here, maybe, but does the Freedom Caucus find an ally then in a President Donald Trump?
Well, certainly someone who is willing to work with us on a number of issues that we think are important. You know, we'll keep coming back to the platform, but whether it's on trade or whether it's on national security or border security, I think we're going to find a willing partner there. We won't agree on everything. You
right.
and I know
right.
that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we'll certainly agree on a whole host of issues far greater than the current occupant at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Without question, I think when we look at the issue of judges, we look at the military issues, you and I have spoken about religious freedom, and of course the foreign policy that has implications for religious freedom. And I look at what unfolded in Turkey.
Right.
I mean, that is, you know, some may argue counter this position, but I have to say, this happened on his watch. This was a foreign policy failure, I think, in many ways.
Well, it is. It's because there has not been a strong leadership. They talk about leading from behind. You got to be able to lead to even lead from behind. I haven't seen any leadership. Our allies and our enemies as well don't know what to count on, what to expect from us. And when you're silent, these kind of things happen, and it is very troubling, especially in Turkey.
Well, let's talk just a moment about Turkey. I've been looking at this, talking with General Boykin about this. We may have him on later in the week, but there's some concern of what's going to flow from this as the president of Turkey may solidify his, strengthen his support by oppressing minorities, and especially Christians, even further.
Well, he will, and I think that they've rounded up thousands and thousands of people that were against the current administration there. And Erdogan, who I've met a number of times in Washington, D.C., I've found that his rhetoric has gotten really advanced more and more towards not only Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood, and those Islamic extremists' positions, but what it's doing now is one critical NATO ally in the in the Middle East is now in jeopardy, making us going to have to be more reliant on Egypt,
right,
as it comes strategic.
Right, absolutely. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. As I mentioned, we're broadcasting live from the convention, the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. My guest, North Carolina Congressman Mark Meadows. He is one of the founding members of the Freedom Caucus in Congress. All right, Mark, you got a couple minutes left. I want to ask you this because there's a lot of our listeners that, and not just our listeners, I mean, I hear it all the time, and I'm sure you do as well when you speak. A lot of people just not sure what to do about this presidential race. Their candidate didn't win. They're undecided. How important is it that Christians in particular, conservatives, do not stay home in this election?
Well, it's critically important not only that they not stay home, but they continue to pray. And as we start to look at this particular issue, 24/7 there is news that happens. There's a voice that's going to fill that. It's either going to be a secular voice or a Christian voice. And if they stay home, whether it's at the ballot box or at their community leaderships or anywhere else, their voice will not be heard, and I can tell you that it makes a difference on Capitol Hill with me and my colleagues. It makes a difference in terms of who we elect. They need to show up in strength. I believe they will, God willing.
All right. We certainly encourage them to do just that. Congressman Mark Meadows, as always, a pleasure to talk with you. Thanks for stopping by and visiting with us today.
It's great to be with you, my friend. God bless.
All right, brother. Take care. Congressman Mark Meadows, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And again, I want to remind you, as I say from time to time, you know, people overall, there, and it's called the paradox of distance. There is this negative view of Congress. But when you actually know you're a member of Congress, the numbers go up. And the reason is because it humanizes people. But a lot of Christians frustrated with Congress, there's reason to be encouraged. As we were just talking about Congressman Mark Meadows, a strong Christian believer, there are many. Yes, there are many in Congress like that. Pray for them. Pray and work to add to their numbers so that we can tilt the balance in favor of the views and the concerns we have. All right, folks, don't go away. On the other side of the break, we're going to be talking about the Republican platform next to the Democratic platform. Is there a difference? Oh, yes. We're going to talk about that with Peter Hansen when we come back. Don't go away. We're back with more right after this.
People always ask me, what all do you see in Washington, D.C. when you go on your spiritual heritage tour? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I guess the better question is, what don't we see when we go to our nation's capital on our spiritual heritage tour? We're going to be going in September the 14th through the 17th. The Capitol, all the monuments, the Arlington National Cemetery, the National Archives, the Library of Congress, the Supreme Court. We're even going to George Washington's Mount Vernon on Saturday. So it's going to be a great time in our nation's capital. One of the best aspects of this is we get to spend time together with brothers and sisters from across the country. So if you want more information on our tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, or our Williamsburg, Jamestown, Yorktown trip, either one of those or both of those, you can go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. We're in perilous times. Societal upheaval seemingly everywhere. LGBT aggressions, racial tensions, Islamic influence, the list goes on. The left keeps talking about being on the right side of history. What many don't realize is that God's side is the right side of history. As J.C. Ryle says so well, we want more boldness among the friends of truth. There's far too much tendency to sit still and wait for committees and number our adherents. We want more men who are not afraid to stand alone. It's truth, not numbers, which shall always, in the end, prevail. We have the truth, and we need not be ashamed to say so. The judgment day will prove who is right, and to that day we boldly appeal. We must stand on God's side and let God's will unfold as it will. Where do you stand? This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
With a ministry opportunity, here's Steve Tiber.
8 Days of Hope 12 will be going to Black River, South Carolina. Last year in October, 25 inches of rain fell in the state, causing $22 billion of damage. And now you and I get a chance to go to South Carolina this fall and encourage people who feel like they've been forgotten. We have 70 homes out of the 250 homes that we're looking to work in that need brand new roofs. If you've ever done any roofing whatsoever, a couple roofs in your life, or maybe you've led a roofing crew or worked in construction, consider coming to 8 Days of Hope. We're looking for plumbers, carpenters, painters. Man, there's something for everybody. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com. We hope to see you there.
Be the hands and feet of Jesus. Visit 8daysofhope.com. Please pray for this relief effort and for the families affected by this flood. And if you can't volunteer but would still like to help, donations are also needed. You can give and learn more at 8daysofhope.com.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. We're broadcasting from the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. And we've been discussing the new GOP platform on the program. We've done that several times, but I wanted to move on to another angle. We have not compared the GOP platform with the proposed platform of the Democratic National Committee. The DNC has been called the most progressive, that's liberal, ever, in the GOP, the most conservative. Now, some have described the difference as day and night. Where the GOP platform upholds the sanctity of life, the Democratic platform hopes to do the opposite by stripping out the Hyde Amendment. Now, the Hyde Amendment is in place to make sure that tax dollars are not spent on abortion, meaning you're not forced to pay for them. Well, in a statement released by the DNC, the platform vows to oppose and seek to overturn, and that's never happened before, all federal and state laws that impede a woman's access to abortion, meaning you funding it. And they say including the repealing of the Hyde Amendment. Well, what else is different between the two platforms? Joining me to discuss the differences in the RNC and the DNC's 2016 platform is reporter and associate editor of the Daily Caller, Peter Hassan. Peter, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me.
Now, Peter, you wrote earlier an article discussing the desire by the DNC to remove the Hyde Amendment. Give our listeners an idea of how radical really that is in terms of a proposal even coming from the DNC.
Just an easy example to show how far the left this platform is that the Democrats, they're pro-life Democrats, even pro-choice Democrats who come out and said, no, that's way too far. That's like my constituents aren't going to go for that. And so, for example, Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia, he came out and said, call it crazy. He said, what are we doing here? Why are we taking it that far? There's no need to. But that's actually what we've seen, is it's been a steady march to the left of the Democratic Party platform. You know, so in 2004, they said, you know, abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. And then in 2008, with under Barack Obama, they dropped the word rare. And so they said, well, it should be safe and legal. You know, by now, it's saying, well, you should have to pay for it.
And yeah, so this is even for the Democratic Party, this is really moving to the left, because while they have guarded abortion as if it were, a sacrament of the left, they've never gone that far out as a party and demanded that taxpayers fund the taking of innocent human life. So that is pretty significant.
Yes,
yes,
if someone from 2004, Democrats from 2004 were to come and see the platform right now, they would say, that they would be aghast at how far it's come. But which, I mean, you know, goes to the other point that if it's come that far in, the past 8 years, you kind of have to stop and think, well, where is it going to be in 8 years? Because
right.
It really, really has moved so far to the left so fast that it's even turning Democrats off. That's how fast it's going to the left.
What other areas, life, a social issue, what are some of the other areas? I've read through it, and I mean, it's a pretty stark contrast to the Republicans, but what other areas jumped out to you as you reviewed the proposed DNC platform?
One issue that's really going to be a really big talking point throughout the fall is Planned Parenthood, because the left is obviously it's immensely pro Planned Parenthood, and the Republican platform calls for defunding Planned Parenthood. So what we're actually going to see is between now and November, what you're going to see is Planned Parenthood going all out on behalf of the Democrats, because they're campaigning to keep getting tax dollars,
right?
And so that really is going to be important.
There's a lot at stake for them. In fact, Democratic platform specifically stating they support Planned Parenthood, and for the first time, the Republican platform specifically says they want to defund it. So that you're absolutely right. That is a clear contrast. Peter, thanks so much for joining us in highlighting these differences. And I know you're going to be writing more about this as people digest it too. And so we'll be looking for more of your work in comparing these two platforms. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Peter Hassan with The Daily Caller. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And again, I point to the importance these platforms have. Democrats, over the last 30 years, 74% of the time voting with the platform. Republicans, 89%. Yeah. Can have an impact. And there's other areas. I mean, just, if you don't want to read it all, and this is not everybody's thing, but just read the preambles to both of them. They're a stark contrast between the two preambles. That may tell you all you need to know, or you can just thumb through them and see them. All right. When we come back, yesterday there was a press conference by officials regarding the tragic shooting that took place in Baton Rouge on Sunday, where three law enforcement officers were killed. Yesterday, an FBI agent, officer in charge of the New Orleans division, spoke at a press conference trying to unify, but it appears he did more to divide. Why is that? Well, we're going to talk about that when we return right here on Washington Watch. Don't go away.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, the oil industry's got a little issues with some glut supplies. They're feeling some pressure on crude oil prices, thinking that there's going to be another glut in the supply of oil here over the next several months. So we're seeing oil prices come down. Very interesting. U.S. companies spend a record amount in the last 12 months. This is a 12-month number. Spent a record amount on, what do you think, buyback of their stocks. Why is that important? Well, number one, this continues the false narrative that is out there that the markets are doing better than everybody thinks. You add this and combine this to what I talked about last week with central banks around the globe actually buying up the stock market. And we saw that false positive continue to be presented by central banks. What we didn't know about was the billions of dollars in buybacks for this last 12 months being a record number. So companies, in an effort, which by the way, over $500 billion in buybacks, and by the way, earnings still showing negative for the second quarter of the year despite the 12 months of buybacks. We also saw corporate defaults reach a 50% increase from this time last year. So we are still seeing corporate bonds and corporations, not just emerging markets, but U.S. companies are the majority of these defaults still continuing. So things aren't as good as they are trying to make them look.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you here at the Republican National Convention as we broadcast live outside the convention floor. A lot happening. In fact, just a little bit, Congressman Louis Gohmert of Texas going to join us. A lot of members, as I said earlier, are here and are walking around talking. And, of course, we want to hear from them, a lot of our good friends that are fighting for the things that we care about, that are going to work to carry out the new Republican Party platform and all the conservative principles contained therein. All right, I want to continue to remind you to pray for the Baton Rouge community, my home community, also to pray for the families of the officers who were slain on Sunday morning in an ambush in which three officers were killed, three others wounded, still some in critical condition. And I mean, this is, we've talked about all of those things happening across the country and how this is such a time of crisis for our nation, to be praying for those in law enforcement. But I want to pray for those families that have lost their husbands, their fathers, their brothers. It's tragic. Yesterday, there was a press conference at the governor's office in which law enforcement officials and others were there. And there was a special agent in charge of the FBI New Orleans field office. Jeff Chalette was there. And he wanted to unify, which I am all about. So he cited the pledge, but he left something out. And I don't know if it was intentional. I've actually written him a letter and asked him to clarify, because in this administration we've seen this. But I want you to hear this. I'm going to play the clip of his comments yesterday in Baton Rouge at the governor's office on a press conference, giving an update on the investigation into the shooting of the three police officers.
As toddlers, we learn the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm going to quote seven words from the pledge. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We lost something there. And it is the one element that I believe unifies us as a nation. In fact, that's why back in 1954, I believe it was, early 50s, that Congress adopted under one nation under God, indivisible. They added under God because of the external threats to this nation. They wanted to make clear that we were a Christian nation, and what unified us was under God. Now, people may disagree with that, and that's fine. But you can't just, especially as a public official, selectively ignore that. And this, I wouldn't, you know, at a time like this, I wouldn't normally bring this up. But we're trying to unify the community, and it is God that can unify us. It is, that is where we find hope. That is where we find peace. That's where we find worship. And for someone associated with the Obama administration, and I know maybe we're overly sensitive to this, but rightfully so, when this administration has consistently hammered on our religious freedom and tried to make send messages around the world that we're not a Christian nation, that we've rejected that past, yes, we're sensitive to it. And I've asked Jeff Shillette to correct this and see whether it was an intentional omission or it was accidental. And I just don't think these things should go left unchallenged. Well, joining me now in our radio booth here at Washington Watch at the RNC convention is my good friend from the Lone Star State, represents the 1st District of Texas, number one in Texas, Louie Gohmert. Congressman Gohmert, welcome back.
Tony, always good to be with you. And I tell you, it still warms my heart to hear the Tony Perkins say, I'm his good friend.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's wonderful.
I know you've always got my back, and I've got yours, and I'm grateful for that. I know you're going to stick around over the break because we're almost up to, against a break, but you heard the statement there from the special agent in charge of the FBI.
And you know, it breaks my heart just like it breaks yours. You know, Jefferson was worried about the same thing. You know, we have forgotten God, and we have as a nation. So, you know, I learned so much more about the nature of God, just a tiny drop work, when I became a father. And I knew how much it meant when I walk in and my kids came running and jumping and grabbing, and just showed so much love. I know what it means when I knock myself out to do things for my kids. And I know what it meant when they just totally ignored and distracted, and it hardly ever happened. But if God is the just and righteous God that I know him to be, and Scripture says unequivocally that he is, then the question is, how long does he let us keep going where we're not only ignoring him, but we're basically spitting in his face?
Yeah. Well, it reminds me, back in 1984 in your home state of Texas, in Dallas, Texas, Ronald Reagan, speaking to a prayer breakfast, made the statement, if we ever cease to be one nation under God, we will be a nation gone under.
Exactly.
Louie Gohmert, stick around. We're up against a break. We're going to be back. Folks, don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert as we broadcast live from the Republican National Convention here in Cleveland, Ohio. And then we're going to be taking your phone calls a little bit later, 866-372-7289. No, I still didn't get it right. I'll get it right on the other side of the break, all right? It's been a long week. But I do know this. You are listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, and sitting next to me is Louie Gohmert. Don't go away.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith, to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. Family Research Council and FRC Action stand at the forefront of this battle. In these turbulent times, we trust in God's Word that He is for us and that He will give us a future and a hope of prosperity. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voter Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. You'll hear the latest on the threats to our nation's security, your religious freedom, the privacy and safety of our children and grandchildren, and much more. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information and to register. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Consider serving the Lord with friendships. It's an opportunity to reach out to the needy around the world. They're now taking applications to volunteer, and they need help in the areas of mechanics, maritime, including deck, engine, and steward departments, food service, warehousing, and office. Check it out at friendships.org or call 337-433-5022.
It's 2 a.m., and Tommy's raspy cough has become a horrible-sounding bark. You can go rushing into the night with your little one for an ER visit, or you can teleconference with a board-certified pediatrician to evaluate Tommy, give you advice, and write a prescription if necessary. MD Live is a network of board-certified physicians available anytime and anywhere. Information about MD Live is available at hcbenefits.com, hcbenefits.com.
This message is provided by Liberty HealthShare.
You can control your health care with Liberty HealthShare.
Liberty HealthShare gives you freedom from health insurance.
You can finally make the right decisions for you and your family.
It's not insurance, it's medical cost sharing.
You can affordably control the cost of your medical expenses.
It's a group of individuals sharing the cost of health care. This is based on shared values.
You are not alone.
With Liberty HealthShare, you're part of something bigger, a group of people who care for and support one another.
Join the movement of people who share in medical costs and change the way you pay for your health care forever.
It's easy. Visit healthsharefamily.org right now. healthsharefamily.org. Enroll today.
Liberty HealthShare.
Together, we're changing health care for good. Check out healthsharefamily.org, healthsharefamily.org. Not available in Pennsylvania.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. We are, you can hear the noise in the background. We're at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. All right, the phone number, 866-372-7234. In just a few moments, when we wrap up here with Congressman Louis Gohmert, we'll open up the phone lines, 866-372-7234. Congressman Gohmert, what's at stake in this election?
I would say the future of our country as a self-governing republic. I think it's all on the line, because when you lose the First Amendment, the freedom of religion... We already had freedom of speech really encroached upon. And as more and more people are saying, oh, you can't say anything negative about Islam, then, you know, that's, and of course, that's been one of the goals of since a meeting in Philadelphia where an Islamic group talked about, here's 10 goals. They want to subjugate the Constitution to Sharia law. And the first step, once the First Amendment is abridged to the point you can't say anything negative about Islam, and I would encourage nobody to ever do it, but I would encourage people not to ever, you know, say any disparaging remarks about Jesus Christ, about Christianity, but people do that all the time, and it doesn't, there's no penalty for doing that here on earth. So that is... our freedom of speech is in danger. Hillary has pushed to make that, get that through the UN. She's been supportive, at least, of getting through the UN, a requirement you can't disparage Islam. So there's, and we have seen, and I don't know that people have really talked about it, but at the oral argument before the Supreme Court on the Little Sister of the Poor case, they kept talking about the distinction between the Little Sisters of the Poor not being a church, and therefore the government has more authority to tell them what they can or cannot practice in the way of religious practices. But at one point, the question was basically asked of the Obama lawyer, right? We get the impression that you think even if it was a church, you could tell them what religious practices, that you would have to pay for abortion. And he said, yeah, we do. The Obama administration thinks they can tell churches what religious practices they can observe. This is scary time. It's a scary place to be. And people have got to rise up. They've got to get out and participate, or we're very close to being done.
You know, I agree with you. I described it earlier today. I spoke in an event at lunch, and I said, you know, I think the future of our republic is at stake. Not our country as a landmass.
No,
you know,
not as a landmass. No.
But as a republic.
As we've known it.
For the last 240 years, the freedoms that we've enjoyed that have been unique to America, I believe those things are at risk.
Where we could be free to practice our Christian religion and Christian beliefs without fear of persecution. That is not as it has been throughout our history.
And it's
going to be gone.
And if we don't defend those freedoms, we lose those freedoms. And if we don't use those freedoms, we lose them. And that's why I give the office, the agent, the benefit of the doubt. I've asked him, you know, was this an omission? Was it intentional or not in leaving "under God" out from his reciting of the pledge? But I don't think we can let those things go.
I'm so glad you raised that. They have to be
questioned, because that's key to who we are as a people. And that's how you lose your history and your identity, is that you let that stuff slide. I don't think we can let it slide any longer.
No, it's been sliding for 50 years. And if we're going to recapture our freedoms, we have got to stand up and stop it now.
Yeah. Congressman Louie Gohmert, as always, great to have you with us. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Love you, my brother. Thank you, Tony.
All right. Texas occupies a lot of room down there on the floor of the convention. I don't know if I can make my way over to that massive sea of delegates of Texas.
Well, if you notice, it doesn't come right down to the front.
No.
We're toward the back.
But I'll look for you down there on the floor tonight.
All right. Good to see you, Tony. Thank you, brother.
Congressman Louie Gohmert of Texas. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234, discussing a number of issues tonight. So we're going to open up the phone lines, and you can give us a call. And first, we're going to go to Alabama, where Becky is on the line. Becky, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, and thank you for all you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I would just like to say, through these past years, I've had a real experience with the Lord, and He works in miracles. We cannot forget that. He works in miracles, and He wins His battles. His battles were won at Calvary, and we have to believe. That's what we need. We need to get out of His way and quit doing and doing and doing and just believe Him. Believe Him. Believe the Lord Jesus Christ and watch Him work. He will work, and He will do it.
You know, it's interesting, Becky, you bring that up on miracles. I was talking about this week, and the reason people don't like miracles is because it points to the fact that God is all-powerful and not man. And we don't like to acknowledge that God has that power and ability to interject Himself in the affairs of man, but yet He does. And I believe there are a number of times in the history of this country where God, in fact, has worked in providential ways, and His hand has been seen very clearly, and that's why America is still here today. We need that hand once again. I think it is absolutely critical, and that's why we cannot ignore God. If we, you know, refuse to acknowledge that we are one nation under God, and we just want to leave Him out of the equation, well, let me just tell you, we're not going to make our way back. We cannot do this on our own. And at a time, especially in my home community of Baton Rouge, when so many people families are grieving, others are questioning, wanting to know what in the world is happening, we need God. We need God in America again. And you don't get Him back by ignoring Him. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Kansas. Becky, thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Kansas, where Phil is on the line. Phil, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for taking my call. You were talking about the Hyde Amendment.
Yes.
And the Democrats want to do away with that.
Say that again, Phil.
I thought you were talking about the Democrats and their things that they were trying to push. One was take away the Hyde Amendment.
Correct.
It seemed like Obama already had. He said there was no abortion
language in Obamacare, and my insurance went up, and that's one of the reasons my insurance agent said it did, because they're providing abortions now.
You are correct. By practice, he has violated. The Hyde Amendment is an annual rider that's put on appropriations bills. It's just been routinely placed on the appropriations bill year after year. And it's been on the HHS appropriations. What happened with Obamacare is because they had funding through several different funding streams, they were able to circumvent that. Now, we raised a warning flag and warned that that would happen back when Obamacare was being debated in 2009, and almost stopped it over that issue, because there were a number of pro-life Democrats back then. They've almost all gone. I think there's maybe two left. But the president, that's when he put forth that executive order saying that it would not fund abortion. Of course, we said that that was a fig leaf. It was a facade. It wasn't going to hold up. In fact, it did not. So, but here's what's happening, Phil, is that the Democratic Party, is no longer hiding it. I mean, it's not a shell game or doing it in the shadows. They're coming straight out and saying, we believe that taxpayers should be forced to fund abortion. That's what they're saying in their platform. That's how emboldened they've become to advance this agenda under the Obama administration. And it's significant because I'm sure everybody understands this, but let me just, for the sake of those that may be new to this topic and the program, is that we're not talking about whether or not women should have access to abortion. Now, I believe abortion is murder. I believe that we should not be promoting abortion in this country. But what we're talking about here is forcing other Americans to violate their conscience by funding abortions from others. And we're saying, no, you should not. In fact, that has been the policy in this country since Roe v. Wade. Democrats now coming out very boldly, proudly, saying, no, we want every American to be forced to violate their conscience in funding, with their tax dollars, the taking of an innocent human life. That's what we're talking about. Phil, thanks so much for calling. Appreciate the call. We're going to go now to Arkansas, where Mark is on the line. Mark, welcome to Washington Watch.
Sir, I appreciate you having me. Listen to your show all the time. I respect what you do. And about the Democratic agenda, I'm a veteran. I fought for this country. My grandfather fought in Iwo Jima. He was a Marine in World War II.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark, for your service. And
I appreciate that, sir, but I think you know as well as I do that those of us that go, we go and we do our job. That's what we're supposed to do. And that our leaders tell us, this is what we want you to go do, and we go and do it because, you know, we not only love this country just the same as you love this country and all the other Americans out there that truly love this country. We go and do it. What breaks my heart, and I know it would break my grandfather's heart, is that there's no one. Where are all of the men in government that stand up to bullies like Obama and the people of his agenda? I just want to ask that question. Richard Nixon was impeached because he erased 30 seconds of tape. Where are the men? Where did they go? And I'm not trying to be, I'm just asking seriously. I'm asking you. Where are these people that used to stand up and say, this is not going to happen, and you're going to be held accountable, and I don't care what anybody thinks about it?
Mark, that is an outstanding question, and it goes to this issue, and I've talked about this a lot not on the air, but in other meetings I've been in the last week, it comes down to an issue of courage. And you mentioned Iwo Jima and the Marines that fought in World War II and hopped from island to island. In fact, I was in fifth grade, read a book, Guadalcanal, about the Marines and how they took Guadalcanal, and the courage in the face of sheer evil and overwhelming odds they fought. And that's why not only America prevailed in World War II, but the world was a safer and a secure place because men had courage. Didn't mean they weren't afraid, but they were willing to stand up for the things that they believe in. And we've seen a steady emasculation of the culture of manhood through the left, through our education system, through the media. We see manhood is mocked, and we're reaping the results of that. People are afraid to stand up. They're afraid about what somebody's going to post about them on social media, or what somebody's going to say, rather than what the outcome ultimately will be, whether it'll be good or bad. Not for them, but for maybe their children, their posterity, maybe the community, maybe the country. We've got to go back to the Pilgrims. You know, when they came over here and nearly half of them died in the first year, they didn't come over here for their own benefit. They came, as William Bradford wrote, so that they might just have one small part of laying the stepping stones for future generations. We got to get back to looking beyond ourselves, and Mark, comes down to courage. Takes us beyond the next election, takes us beyond the polls, to what is principled and what is right. And we have to rediscover that in this country, or we lose the country. We lose our culture. No, we'll still be here. Everything will go through the motions. But the freedoms we've enjoyed, they will not long last. Mark, excellent question. I know it was a perceptive question. I do hope people will ponder that. And each and every one of us can display courage. This is not just men in Congress, women in Congress. It's not just governors. It's not just presidents and vice presidential candidates that need to have courage. It's each and every American, each Christian who knows what's right, even in the face of opposition or overwhelming disapproval, will speak what is true and what is right. Folks, it is time for us to have courage, to be strong. In Ephesians chapter 6, it actually speaks about that. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then, of course, as the Apostle Paul finishes up that, he talks about how when you've prayed, you've prepared, and you've taken your stand, guess what you're supposed to do? You got it? Here it comes. Just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.